Hello, welcome to another edition of the Hope Mindful Compassion Show. My name's Paul Garrigan and I manage the Mindfulness Program here at Hope.
Hey, I'm Luke. I'm one of the counsellors here at Hope Rehab. I also facilitate some of the meditation.
Okay, Luke, so you want to talk about dreams today. So what could that possibly have to do with addiction recovery?
A lot of my work here at Hope has got to do with becoming aware of ourselves, becoming aware of the patterns that we run with. And a big part of that is getting in touch with our emotional selves, the feelings that we have in the background that we've maybe dismissed over time. I've found through practice and a lot of one-on-ones that dreams can help us recognize what's going on there.
So, I mean, some people might say that dreams are basically just sort of random stuff that the brain is doing. What would you say to, and if that's true, how could it be of any value to people trying to know themselves?
There is a lot of written material about this, but it doesn't assist unless you actually are able to link in to see how it relates to your life or how it resonates with you. And dreams, with a bit of conversation, can often be linked back into the emotions that we carry throughout the day. It can lead us back to fears that we have or things that we're trying to escape or challenges that we're overcoming.
So what would be the process by how that would work? I mean, how would dreams facilitate that? I mean, what is it about dreams? What's so special about dreams?
For instance, if I'm chatting to a client and they're telling me about their day or they had a rough night's sleep, I'll say, did you have any dreams? And so often something will just pop up and it seems quite right for them to talk about it. And if they begin saying they were in a dream where they were trying to escape something or they were running away, I'll then let them describe the framework of the dream, and then I'll ask them, what was the emotion that was in that dream? And they'll name it, and then we'll say, is that something that you have in your day-to-day life? And so often they'll then recognize that, yes, that is something that they have in their day-to-day life. And in that moment, they'll see that there's more significance to that dream than simply a movie that was playing in their mind while they were asleep.
And if there, so you're saying there isn't a specific way to interpret dreams?
There can be particular framework that stands out, like dreams being in a house that feels like it's your own or actually is your own, or in vehicles, describing movement.
Okay, tell me, what's that? What's movement about then? What's movement in a dream? What does that signify?
So often it can signify a lack of movement in life, and lack of movement relates back to being stuck in something that doesn't work. We know it doesn't work, but we keep at it over and over again. It can mean wanting to move but limiting ourselves in some way, being trapped by ourselves.
And so where are these ideas coming from about these interpretations coming from? Is this something that you're picking out of the air, or is actually based on something?
There is a lot of written material. Carl Jung did a lot of pioneering work on that in the 20s, I believe it was. There are specific books written about this. There is a lot of information out there, and it can send you in lots of different ways. But it always has to be verified with, does it just resonate with you and match what's going on in your life? And so information doesn't help us as much as recognition does.
Because I think that would be something that I would sort of be concerned about. I mean, would it be possible, so say you're doing this or somebody's doing this with a client, you're kind of leading them to your conclusion.
That's interesting. I'm going to actually bring up a real-life scenario. We had a young man and he brought up his dream and he was in a car and he was trying to score drugs in that dream and the car just kept doing laps around and around the block. And he relayed back that he was worried what his mother thought in that dream. And at the time when he shared that, he had the impression that he shared that it was just a dream. And then so I said, okay, let's step out of that dream. In your life before you came here, did you feel stuck like you were going around and around in circles? And yes, he did. And then to be truly thorough with interpretation, you then go into pure counseling and say, how long were you, going around and around in circles? How long were you stuck for? Is that the reason why you've ended up in rehab? And then you process it like a standard counselling session. So it does not become some sort of label that you leave there. It becomes a doorway to then go deeper and deeper into the personality to discover what's going on.
So you sort of have to kind of make sure that the interpretation that you're sort of putting out of it is something that the client sees themselves, and rather than sort of...
Most definitely. Just giving someone information and letting them walk away with that does not help. A proper counselling and proper therapy is about integration. So it's helping that person recognise the patterns, recognise the reasons behind it or the meaning behind it, so they can link into the reason for change or the value for change. And it's dream interpretation is a doorway to assist, but it is just an assistance. It is not the process to help that person change.
And which part of the dream should people be should be focused on? Is it the actual story itself, the symbolism, the tone of it, or the feeling it produces? What's the real sort of core important bit of it?
The emotion that is in that dream, the feeling that is in that dream. So often the intricate framework that gets displayed sort of distracts us and makes it think like a crazy story. But what I've discovered is that those stories sidestep our logic, and it's the emotion that is most often needing to be recognized. From the stories that I hear, it is the framework that captures the attention. And then when we work one-on-one, we link into the emotion. And so often it's an emotion that is not conscious in that person's day-to-day life, and it needs to be made aware of, or it's helpful to be made aware of to then move forward for that person.
And would you say there's something to be learned from every single dream the person has?
Often it's the ones that stand out. Often it's the ones that we wake up from in the early hours of the morning. In my experience, there are two phases of the dream cycle. The dreams that happen when we're going to sleep, they're often the memories of the day, being shuffled away into the unconscious mind. The ones that stand out, that have a vivid nature to them, sometimes they feel like a bright Hollywood movie. Or if you wake up and it feels like it's real, and it takes 10 minutes or 30 minutes to convince yourself that that didn't actually happen, there's something in that that really needs your attention, I think.
So the way you've described it a minute ago, so you're sort of saying this is something as a basis to a counselling session. But is this something that people can do without a counsellor, that they can do by themselves?
Most likely, yes. A dream journal is always a great way to start. And
let's go through the process. So I've written down my dream. What do I do now?
You write down the scenario that's there. Where did you find yourself? What were you trying to do? Were you trying to locate something or escape from something or fix something? And you write down all the details that you can remember. And then write down the feelings and the emotions that were there. And then that's when you can take a bit of a breath and then become philosophical or do a bit of self-review and ask, is that something that exists in my day-to-day life? Is this something I should look at? Is this something I should journal about? And just by becoming aware of it, that is a great step. But then by scanning back over the few days before or the months before and asking, is this something that's been in various locations and I haven't linked them together, or I've seen them as separate events, but really they're leading up to something that I need to recognise or grow from.
I'd imagine people starting out to do this, like you described, they may be kind of concerned, like with doubt. I mean, so they're doing this process that you describe and this feeling of doubt comes up. Like, how does the person... decide that they're not sort of wishful thinking, or that they're doing something like going into fantasy. How do they know that they're kind of being accurate with their interpretation? Because obviously it sounds very, very subjective.
It certainly is subjective, and it does require a good sense of self. And that's why bringing it back to journaling, to the written word, so you can really review and get a sense of, does that relate to me? Is that my stuff? If there's ever anything that's heady, or if you go into predictions or assumptions of things in the future, then you're missing the point. And that's where it becomes a mindful practice in recognizing, does it feel right for me now?
And when you say feel right for me now, in what sense?
Yeah, does it feel like it offers comfort or...
Because obviously the ego could go, oh, that's fantastic.
Indeed, yes. Yeah.
So in what sense do you mean?
And so, yeah, it can always be, does it help me make sense of what's going on for me now? Or does it feel like, that will be a solution to something I'm not wanting to face, or something that will provide something in the future? Then that's often the words of the ego letting us know that we're avoiding something or looking too far ahead. This kind of work does need practice, and much like journaling and meditation, you know, it's not a quick fix. And if you journal on a daily basis, you get to become aware of your patterns. And so dream work assists being aware of those patterns, but it's not a solution to it. So if you're journaling each day or a couple of times a week, you'll see that it fits in and adds to it rather than takes off in its own direction.
Actually, that's a good point. So, you know, you've got clients sort of leaving here and they're doing all of this other stuff. I mean, how important should this stuff be? I mean, what amount of their time should they devote to it? I mean, if it was a very important thing, they could spend an hour every morning journaling their dreams. But in reality, how important is it and how much time should they be giving to it?
Dream work shouldn't take over the journaling practice. I'm a big fan of journaling, and I think that should be done on a daily basis. Just a small amount of dream journaling in the morning. If something's sort of been brought to your attention or you've caught an important dream from the night, just a few minutes a day, because it just adds to what we're already aware of ourselves. I think that's what the dream process is there for.
So with a lot of clients, what I find is many will say, well, I don't remember my dreams. So does that mean this practice isn't going to be suitable for these people, or is there something that they can do?
A dream journal, again, just writing down as soon as we wake, is we'll bring that in. I've heard many people tell me they're not aware of their dreams, but then in a small amount of conversation, yes, they are. It's just that we lose them, the awareness of them, and we wake up. Because that's how life works. We get on with the day. But if you spend a few moments being conscious in the morning just to scan back, did I dream? Most people, as I've seen, will quickly be able to link in what happened to them while they slept.
And is there anything you could suggest for people to improve their dream recall?
Same answer again, yeah. Just writing down, getting a good night's sleep, becoming aware of what we need, the ingredients that we need to get a good night's sleep. And often that means winding down, no electronics before we go to bed, and going to bed early and feeling comfortable in going to sleep, and not going to sleep when we feel tired, but a little bit before that. So a good rest and, yeah, that dream journal next to the bed there, so that you've set an intention to become aware and to follow that through in the morning.
Is there any resources you could recommend that people check out, like any books, any apps, anything like that you could recommend to clients or anyone listening?
There is a large amount of information available on the internet, and often what I personally do is if I have a dream about perhaps being in a broken down car, I would just Google broken down car dream meaning, and many things will come up. And it's there where you need to discern again. Does the information offer you recognition to own and be responsible for yourself, or does it offer lofty information? And the process of self-discovery is always a journey of seeing if the information we read, wherever we find it, offers us feeling and recognition of ourselves, or lofty information that perhaps could be a distraction.
And what about any particular, is there any particular books that you've read that would you recommend, like Carl Jung, or to check out that sort of stuff? Or
there is a lot of information from Carl Jung, yes. As well, there are dream dictionaries that you can find in most bookshops, and they'll have an A to Z of dream meanings. And that can also be of a good assistance.
And could a person just start to, I mean, is this something that people, do we kind of intuitively have this information anyway? Do we sort of need the help of the dream dictionary or dream?
That is a great question. Dreams take up a third of our lives, and they are this amazing thing that gets shown to us each night. I think we, as a society, have dismissed them perhaps, but we most certainly are able to interpret the dreams that we have by simply journaling and asking and being honest with ourselves. Yes.
Okay. On that note, I think we'll end it. Thanks a million, Luke. I think we'll be having some more of these chats. That was really interesting.
Thanks for having me here today, Paul.
Okay.